All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Saturday, August 22, 2015. Pleased to be joined in studio by Chris Ferrandino, PGA assistant at Southwood Hoe. Chris, how are you doing this morning?
Great, Anthony. Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
It's a beautiful day out today. It's been the end of a hot, hot week. People really struggling out there with the week we've had out on the golf course.
Yeah, it is the summer, and we do have some hot temperatures, but we get by. We get by. It's been a good summer all around weather-wise, no doubt.
Oh, I mean, I would say this summer hit it out of the park in terms of weather. I mean, with the exception of maybe last week in terms of trying to keep up with the golf course and keep it alive and green and everything else, it's been a banner year.
It really has.
All right. Well, we're going to, I want to take a short break just so we can get back, but it's great to have Chris in studio. We're going to be talking a little junior golf and a little PGA junior league golf. So stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabeal has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by Chris Ferrandino, PGA assistant at Southwood Hoe Country Club. Not a local guy, been around for a while now. We forget, we love the work that you do at Southwood Hoe, but we forgive the fact that you're a Boston guy. You're a Patriots guy.
Born and raised in Massachusetts, moved to Long Island in 99 mm-hmm. after a little bit of time down in South Carolina getting into the golf business. But yeah, my footballs will be fully inflated, I promise.
you know, working at a club down here on the island must be difficult, at being a Boston fan, to make your way around the club and not have an argument or some sort of discussion, shall we call it.
I think at first, like a typical Boston fan, I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder.
Sure.
The whole Red Sox-Yankees thing.
Right.
Eventually, that's kind of worn away. People have become accustomed to seeing me with all the Boston sports gear on, and they just kind of they deal with it.
Yeah, and you guys, I mean, there's not much to question. You've had your fair share of successes, especially football, and what they've been able to do.
Yeah. But last 15 years or so. Yeah, hopefully we keep it going.
When did golf start for you?
I started playing golf at the age of 12, and for me it started in the backyard, actually, mm-hmm. with a wedge and a bunch of golf balls and just knocking the ball around.
Did someone introduce it to you, or did you happen to just discover it on your own?
Actually, no, it was just kind of on my own. Again, early on, I just started knocking balls around the backyard, and to this day, the short game actually is still the strongest part of my game, and mm-hmm. probably my favorite part of the game to teach and work on with people to help them score better.
At what point did you realize this is what you wanted to do? I mean, this obviously started at a pretty young age, and you stayed with it.
Great question how I got to the business. I graduated with a business management degree and got into management early on after college, and mm-hmm. just really decided this indoor 9-to-5 thing, you know, was not really my deal, and mm-hmm. moved down south in the mid-90s, got into the golf business, and it actually took me back up this way, again in 99 when I started at Southwood Hoe.
You didn't play in college or anything?
I did play in college. My first couple years I did play, yeah.
Uh-huh. And so that was a way to keep it. So you've always been in touch with the game. So you played in high school.
Yeah,
and
I played all the way through high school, right. First couple years in college, and then kind of got out of it for a few years as I concentrated more on my studies and my career, and then, you know.
Well, you didn't think
came back to it.
Yeah, you didn't think you were going to have a a career maybe in golf. So you sort of...
Definitely not. You know, during my college years, a career in golf was not something I saw myself being a part of. And, you know, eventually it became that way.
Well, I mean, like everybody else, you discover as you get a little older, you know, what you think you love and what you think you might want to do is not exactly what you want to do.
Usually it doesn't work out that way.
Exactly.
Right?
Very few cases that it really does. And unless you happen to be a professional athlete who's been blessed to become a professional athlete, that's probably something that you've done throughout your life.
But no doubt.
For us regular folk, we usually have to circle back to it. And sometimes it takes a couple of circles, but at least, you know, eventually we get there.
No doubt.
And so you've been over 16 years at Southwood Ho, and I mean, just a great club, and you know, A.W. Tillinghast, beauty, and
fantastic golf course. Great membership there. Really a family oriented club, which is one of the reasons I have been there so long. I actually have over the years kind of become a part of the family there.
Right.
They've embraced my family. You know, we do a lot of things at the club, and we're involved in a lot of stuff at the club, not just on the golf level, but you know, some of the events they run and some of the other things we do there.
Talk a little bit about the golf course. It's obviously A.W. Tillinghast, as I said, and you know, I don't think it gets enough credit in terms of, you know, you look at length in terms of some of the other courses that are building to keep up with the ball and the equipment and the more finer tuner athletes. But, you know, Southwood Ho to me is, you know, not only a great golf course and a great strategic golf course, but I don't think it gets enough credit in terms of its difficulty. Whenever you guys have events there, we're open to the regular, maybe it's a Havermeyer, where you have some of the better top tier amateurs coming around. You look at those scores, and it's not like any, you know, 62, 64. Right? Doesn't it kind of, that course kind of sneaks up on you?
It really does. Great point, Anthony. It is a very challenging course. You look at it on paper from the tips, it's 66 and change.
Right.
Long hitters look at that and say, oh, I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a driver wedge all day long. Driver wedge. Which is fine until you get it offline a little bit.
Right.
You get it into the rough. You come in from the wrong angle on certain holes. Another part of the golf course that usually comes into play is the wind.
Yeah.
Being down by the water.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a true links course, but it does play linksy at times.
It can,
especially summers like we've had with you know, hot and dry conditions. It's been very firm and fast out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're bouncing it in on a lot of holes. You know, these guys that are hitting driver wedge, if they're hitting a wedge right at the pin, they're going to wind up on the back or off the back of the green on a lot of these holes. And you're right, for the Havermeyer and some of these other, for example, we had the Long Island Amateur here at Southwood Ho this past year, and nobody ever really goes really low.
Yeah, and the wind, like you said, it never really, it's always quartering. And I think that's sort of like the way the course lays out.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually we like to, you know, Long Island, when you go down at the beach, you know that the wind is eventually going to come off the ocean and it's going to blow. And we always used to call it turning on the fan when I worked down at the beach.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
But at Southwood Ho, the way it is, it just seems like very few times you have it, are you dead downwind or, you know, dead into the wind. It's always quartering and you're not really sure. And I think that's part of the part of the challenge, I should say.
Absolutely. The wind is always quartering. It's always changing. A lot of the holes that run north south, you know, the predominant wind is coming off the water, coming out of the south.
Yep.
And some of those longer holes, well, the par fives tend to play downwind.
Yep.
But the longer par fours tend to play back into the wind.
Right.
And then you have that wind switch around, come out of the north, and then those par fours are playing, you know, they could play with the wind close to 600 yards, especially that 11th hole, which is, you know, 540, 550.
Right, exactly.
Going back in at 20 mile an hour wind, and you got a very challenging hole.
Exactly. So, I just think it just doesn't get enough credit. I think you look at it, it's not, you know, it's on the relatively flat side. Of course, it's on the South Shore of Long Island, so everything is relatively flat,
right,
unless you're moving a lot of dirt. But I just think it doesn't get enough credit in terms of being a challenging course, because when you just look at the sheer numbers of it, you think, it's not bad. But when you look at the scores, you realize, you know, it's not what it really claims to be or what it, you think it appears to be.
Definitely not as it appears on paper.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think it is a very underrated golf course.
Yeah. And, let's get back to teaching. And you know, you got back into the business and you knew that it, decided that this was really the passion, where your passion was. What do you think, or who was sort of your who inspired you in terms of teaching, either philosophy wise or technique wise?
Yeah, actually, a lot of my philosophy goes back to one of the first books I read on the game of golf, which is Bobby Jones on mm-hmm. Golf. A lot of the techniques, a lot of the things that I talk about, to go back to that book. However, I consider myself a very well-rounded teacher.
Sure.
You know, different techniques, you know, one plane swings, two plane swings. I stay current with mm-hmm. all of our latest teachers. One thing that's come up lately is Connor McCormick, who is mm-hmm. Jordan Spieth's coach.
Sure.
And a lot of the stuff he does, getting very scientific with mm-hmm. data and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've read a recent article in Golf Digest about mirror neurons.
Oh, I did not read it, no.
You know, the old saying, you should play with players that are better than you.
Right.
You kind of bring yourself up to that game.
Mm-hmm.
He takes it a step further and saying you should just watch good golf swings.
Yep.
And that tends to kind of activate, you know, neurons in your body and kind of send messages to the right parts of your body to kind of recall those things that the good players, the good swingers of the golf club are doing. I also believe that there's not one right way to swing the golf club.
Yeah.
We as teachers and coaches always have to adapt to our students. We shouldn't be making them adapt to our method.
Right.
A lot of teachers have a specific method and they kind of stick right to it, and it can be hard sometimes to deviate from that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very different in that sense, is that I'm always adapting to what I'm doing and always kind of walking, straddling this line between teaching and coaching.
Right.
Of course, beginning players, we spend a lot of time teaching.
Mm-hmm.
As that player becomes more advanced, we're kind of going back and forth between teaching and coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I teach, you know, a few very good players too, you know, a club champion at mm-hmm. the club. And with those types of players, I'm doing a lot more coaching.
Sure.
You know, just kind of agreeing with or helping them with their confidence mm-hmm. with what they're doing. They already know how to do it.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
With really good players, there's not a lot of teaching going on.
Sure.
It's more like, hey, okay, you're doing what you should be doing, or maybe let's try a little variation on that to just fine-tune and hone their skills. Whereas, you know, beginning developing players, we're showing them how to do it.
Sure. I like it. Two things that you said that stood out. One, it's funny that you said about the micro neurons and Cameron McCormick. I had Frank Darby on the show yesterday. He's the old coach of St. John's,
right.
Now in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he wants his players to be out there and watching. And he didn't say not just seeing. He said he wanted them to go out there and feel what was going on, because there is a sense of feeling. And I told him the story that at the time I was very young, my first tournament that I went to and watched players up close and walked around. I came back the next day, shot my best round ever, and which was happened to be an 80, which I was, and it was all, I always say it was always because of that. I never knew it was, you know, micro neurons or anything like that. But I did get that sense. Like, you really, when you're up there and you can feel what they're doing, you have a sense of what they're doing. It's not just watching their tempo. You can sort of really get it on a different level.
Yeah, it's just like anything, kind of immersing yourself in it. You can become more of what you're a part of.
And the other thing, I love that, and I think this is something that more people are doing. I know Mike Hebron, you know, legendary instructor on Long Island, he talks a little bit about that as being more coach than teacher, and using that kind of language and paying attention to what language you use with certain players and certain kids, and it all comes into play.
No doubt. You know, again, we find ourselves coaching more and more, and as you said, choosing our words carefully when mm-hmm. we are working with people, because we are working with people and we are all different. And we as teachers/coaches We need to do a better job of recognizing how a student, how a player learns and reacts to certain things, and we need to make sure we're going down those avenues more often than going the other way and losing them with, you know, mechanics.
Sure.
Traditional golf instruction has always been, okay, you know, hands on it here, head down, knees bent, this, that, and the other thing, whereas it's a sport. It's an athletic endeavor. It's not, you know, some scientific project where everything has to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to get people to do a little better than they did the last time.
Yeah, and I think to your point, there are everybody has a different swing, and everybody's a different kind of learner.
Absolutely.
And you'll still get those people who pick up the golfing machine or Ben Hogan's, you know, five secrets or whatever, you know, and know how, or Jack Nicklaus's, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
and go through the thing, and that will appeal to them, and they'll grip the club like that, and they'll look through the pages, just like somebody sitting in a classroom wants notes, or, you know, and doesn't need the interaction of something else. So it pays to pay attention, so to speak, of how kids learn.
No doubt.
and how they are receiving knowledge, and that you're trying to or coach them.
Sure.
And so it's a very good point. I have to take one short break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891, and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
It's here at last. Golf season. South Shore Golf specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined in studio by Chris Ferrandino, PGA assistant at Southwood Hoe Country Club. We're going to move on from my mirror neurons to PGA golf. I didn't think we were going to get that on that level, but you never know where the show is going to go. No, but good stuff on that, and I really appreciate that. I didn't really know about that technique or that idea from him, and at least it now has a name to something. You could put a name to something that I've sort of always kind of knew and had, you know.
I think we've all kind of known that all along. But
yeah.
To have somebody kind of put it there in print.
Yeah, sure.
And lay it all out there for you.
And articulate it in a way.
Especially someone who is coaching somebody who's won two major championships this
right.
year and coming second in the other two. I think the guy probably knows what he's talking about,
exactly.
What he's doing.
Exactly. Let's talk about Junior League and Junior Golf, and just to me it seems like Junior League is a home run. You're where the rubber meets the road. What's been your experience with it?
PGA Junior League Golf has been a home run, as you said. It's a program that was recently taken over by PGA of America. It's been running 3 or 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically an initiative to get children back into the game of golf.
Mm-hmm.
We have actual teams. For example, Southwood Hoe had a team where you have children 13 and under.
Mm-hmm.
You have teams that are made up of anywhere from 8 to 12 players, and they play competitions against other clubs and other facilities. And the competitions are very fun-based. They are two-player scrambles. So you're playing match play against two other mm-hmm. children from another facility. And the matches are actually divided into three flags, they're
mm-hmm.
called. So there can be a nine. We actually modified it to have a six-hole match.
Mm-hmm.
We found that the nine-hole matches were going a little too long.
Too long, yeah.
And the kids were kind of, you know, fading out, you know, losing interest there.
Sure.
I'm hungry. I want to do this. I want to do that.
Sure.
So we did
I want an ice cream bar.
Yeah. Exactly. That was actually said during one of the matches. I'm hungry. I'm going home. But and it's a very team-based thing. It takes some of the individual pressure out of competitive golf and makes it more of a fun event for the children. Again, they're playing two-player scrambles. But within those groups, we would usually have an extra player. Mm-hmm. So, for example, our division, we had Southward Ho had a team, Timber Point had two teams, West Sayville had one, and Colonial Springs in Farmingdale had a team.
Mm-hmm.
Say we're playing Timber Point, and the first foursome would have, you know, a two-on-two match, but we'd have extra players. So that third player would be a part of the team. They're helping choose the shot that the team plays. They're helping with strategy,
right,
replacing divots, raking, bunkers. And then after...
learning etiquette.
Exactly.
Like, you know.
And just learning how to play the game and compete with sportsmanship and as a team.
You know,
exhibiting teamwork as well.
Yeah.
And then after each flag was completed, after each two-hole segment was completed, you'd substitute that other player in, and one of the other players would sit and, again, act as that. We called it the third wheel.
Sure.
And for our team at Southward Ho, that player became very important.
Right.
We had one of the children actually become really coachy.
When
he would be the third player.
Taking it very serious.
Yeah. And really, helping the other two players with what they were doing. It was really fun to watch. It was great to watch our kids develop through the season.
Mm-hmm.
But even more importantly, it's fantastic to see children playing the game of golf again and having fun with it.
Right.
Rather than, you know, all this pressure of, oh, I'm all on my own here. I have to put this ball in the hole by myself. I think that can turn a lot of kids off.
Sure. And the intimidation of a golf course, it's visually, when you do your sort of camps and stuff like that, you guys start from 100, 150 in and whatever, sort of minimize that visual intimidation.
Yeah, and we do the same thing with Junior League.
Okay.
We shorten the courses up.
Yeah.
Some holes, you know, if it's a 300-yard hole, we may play from the forward tee.
Right.
But in general, we don't want to have it too much longer
than
that.
Yeah,
so we did modify the golf course in several cases.
Right.
U.S. Kids Golf also has a program that's similar where they have kids' courses, where you actually set up different tee markers, and they call them family tees, which is something we are going to do at Southward Ho as well.
Oh, nice.
To just give the kids a place to go and know that it's like an officially sanctioned thing.
Right.
We actually will get the course rated
from the USGA.
Markers, so children can start posting scores as well.
That's
awesome. So you have 6-, 7-, 8-year-old children start posting scores. They're 10, 12 years old, and they have a legitimate USGA handicap index. But we love the program. I'm becoming a big part of it on Long Island, actually, and trying to grow it from there. It has grown leaps and bounds over the last 2 or 3 years, and we will actually have a 16 and under team next year as well.
Awesome.
It has, up to this point, been restricted to 13 and under, but it's been so successful that these kids that are aging out of it still want to be a part of it. So this 16 and under league will be, you know, a little more competitive.
Sure.
You know, it will still be fun, obviously, because that is what it's all about. But, you know, there'll be a little extra edge to the competition there.
Yeah, well, they'll be a little bit more progressed in their golfing career, so the talent will be a little bit, you know.
No doubt. I think the PGA Junior League, this program that the PGA is currently running, is one of the best things the PGA of America has done since I've been a member.
And
honestly, I think it is the best thing they've done since I've become a member 2004, 2005.
What I like about it is that there's a competition, a team competition on a micro level and then on a macro level, whereas the team can progress. There can be, you could be a Long Island, you know, division champion.
Yeah.
You could be, you know, I don't know if they have a Long Island division, but or then maybe a Metropolitan, then maybe a Northeast or, you know, it's sort of,
that's exactly,
there's a lot of potential for it.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's structured, Anthony. You have each league, and the winning team from each league actually progresses to a bracket where you advance through the region. The Met section is innovating this a little bit, where they're taking the PGA program and amending it a little and adding something to it, where each team that wins their league is now progressing to a playoff system as well. Mm-hmm. Nationwide, they have all-star teams that come out of each league that also play each other and compete to a point where they actually have a national championship for the PGA Junior League.
So a variety of different ways to compete and be a part of the game of golf at a young age, which is a beautiful thing.
It really is.
I got to take one more short break, so we'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined in studio by Chris Ferrandino, PGA assistant at Southwood Hoe Country Club. I'm just wrapping up a discussion on the PGA Junior League. What I like about the Junior League, just as a final thought, is that not just a team competition and the fun part of it, but it also gives kids another option because they're getting children these days younger and younger in the specialization of sport, and they really tested in terms of their loyalty to what it is without maybe even having a fair chance at trying to discover what sport they want to play. And now, you know, at least now golf can be in the mix.
Yeah, definitely. Golf is in the mix, and we've seen it for a while. You know, we had the Tiger effect late 90s, early 2000s, which has kind of waned in recent history, and now, you know, we're looking to this next generation of young players with Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, and Jason Day.
Sure,
you know, to have the children that are out there now kind of looking up to these guys and striving to be like them on and off the course.
Right.
You know, another important aspect of the PGA Junior League is sportsmanship. And also, you know, developing relationships within your community, not just the people that you see every day at your club, but developing these relationships with other clubs. Because as these children grow up and they're members of clubs or they're playing at facilities, it's nice to foster and nurture those relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always been a social game and a game of making connections, and not necessarily just business connections, but just lifelong friends.
Yeah,
And now you're branching it out from one club to another, which is cool. We're talking about the PGA Junior League, and if you just go on PGA JR League.com. That's the website. You'll see everything that you need to know. If you need to know more about it, you could always contact Chris Ferrandino at Southwood Hoe Country Club. Very easy to find. If you have any questions about should your child do it, how should you go about it, whatever the case may be, as Chris said, he's sort of one of the league, or I should say one of the leaders in terms of the league on the Long Island, on Long Island, so and getting that organized. And so, Chris, really appreciate your time coming here and taking. I know it's championship season at the club, and it keeps you really busy. So, really appreciate coming out to join me this morning.
My pleasure, Anthony. Thanks for having me out, and I always look forward to the opportunity to talk about these junior golf programs, specifically PGA Junior League, and mm-hmm. getting our children and the players of the future out there playing the game again and keep golf going.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have, folks, and thank you for joining us, and hopefully you'll get a chance to get out and play this weekend. It's a beautiful day, beautiful weekend. Tee it up and make sure you see your local PGA pro to help you with that swing. That's all the time we have. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.